Where do you go? Donald. Oh, there's good news.
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what's up or down. Black or white.
Legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
I hear it's fake news, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely.
We're doing a lot of things that are very good, including waste and fraud. Tremendous waste and tremendous fraud.
The President of the United States has the authority to do what the President has the authority to do.
You will respect my authority.
Yeah, I've declared myself as king.
I learned a lot from Richard Nixon.
But when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
I cannot tell a lie.
I'm sorry.
Nobody likes me.
I could cause panic much better than even you. I could do much. I would make you look like a minor league player.
Yosemites, Yosemites.
The year is 2020, the number. Another summer, get down. Sound of the funky drummer. Music ain't the hard cause, I know you got soul.
The information age got them seeing what's really wrong with these racist days. I honor the strong and pity the weak. Your thoughts run your life, be careful what you think. Haiti beat France in century 17. Salute Toussaint and Dessalines. And I do love France, know what I mean? It's a system I'm talking, nobody's agreeing. They say it's suicide when dead bodies are swinging. Cowards are hunting black men, that's what I'm seeing. How many toasters have been burnt down? And once Central Park was a thriving black town. Yo, Chuck, I'm fighting the power right now. Thanks to you, Flav and P.E. putting it down. Putting your life on the line so I can rap now. The next generation still singing Fight the Power.
Fight the Power!
And the Aggies and the Hamptons, yeah. They book us, won't book us, I'm booker. T. Washington, George Kill for 20. Think about it, that's 2,000 pennies. The value black life, the cost of going to Wendy's for a four-quarter burger ended in murder. Fight for Breonna and the pain of her mama, gotta fight
the power.
Yeah, generations is how long we've been at war. The revolution on all platforms. You break a man's mind and it's back. Your solidarity is what I'm wearing all black for. For comrades who don't fought without me, it's not to try and change our thoughts about me or to redirect your reports about me. Dear white people, you should take a course about me. Cause is it the long ding-a-ling, four-finger ring? The sciences of the arts, the songs we can sing? I really wanna know why y'all so scared. Probably cause the promised land, we almost there. But look, I think of images that fuel my youth. Interviews by Craig Hodges and Abdul Raouf. Examples like Olympic black power salutes and Panther troops. I saw as I pursue my truth. If racism is a cancer, black thoughts the answer. Gotta get up off the back porch. Emancipate your mind, get your bodies back from ransom.
Come on!
And all black hands up for the anthem.
Yo, check this out, man.
Bring that beat back,
Bring
man.
Bring that beat back.
Two, three, four, hit it.
People,
evil people, stronger than this evil, smashing your power structure, melanin Royal Rico, system designed to kill and unprotect, worldwide hit the streets just to get some respect, our fight and our rights for freedom will never waver, justice Breonna Taylor, salute Chuck and Flavor, feel the same anger since Radio Raheem died, black power to the people, push forward pride.
Fighting power like it's an octo. Born to fight, I made it off the block though. Thought he had a gun and he was black, that's the combo. The police killed George having a convo. They killed Malcolm X, they killed Dr. King. They gave us guns and dope, they wanna stop our kings. Trying to erase our history, stop and think. History class ain't tell us about Juneteenth. Cops don't give a damn about a Negro. Pull a trigger, kill a nigga, he's a key, bro. Living life on welfare. The last one who cared was Obamacare. Round 12, nose kinda bloody. Gotta keep fighting. Trump through the North Korea. They respect violence. If you ain't trying to have your city on fire, put some respect on our name. We come from gold and diamonds.
Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power. We got to fight the powers that be. Elvis was a hero the most, but he never meant to me. You see, straight up racist, a sucker was simple and plain. Cause I'm black and I'm proud, I'm ready, I'm hyper, I'm amped. Most of my heroes don't appear, no stamp. Sample all look back, you look and find nothing but rednecks for 400 years if you check.
Don't worry, be happy.
Was a number one jam. Damn if I said you could slap me right here. Get it.
Let's get this party started right.
Right on, come on. What we got to say? Yeah. Power to the people, no delay. Make everybody see in order to fight the powers that be.
This has been one hell of a week. So we're going to talk about two things in particular. The Republican National Convention and the horrific events in Kenosha, Wisconsin, where Jacob Blake was repeatedly shot in the back by police and a vigilante killed two people. Let's start with the RNC, an event to celebrate the stewardship of Donald Trump. A tough sell at the best of times, but something that felt particularly out of step this week, considering we have a pandemic on the rampage, an economic catastrophe unfolding, and wildfires and hurricanes battering the country, all of which made it a little jarring that the Republicans' opening argument seemed to essentially be this.
Ladies and gentlemen, leaders and fighters for freedom and liberty and the American dream, the best is yet to come.
That's Kimberly Guilfoyle, and that very much set the tone for the week. The main theme of the convention seemed to be telling lies in front of flags, because it was 4 days of a full-throated denial of objective reality. For one thing, there was the misleading portrait they painted of Trump's opponents.
If Biden wins, he'll be controlled by the environmental extremists.
We'd be one step closer to government-run health care.
Biden has pledged to defund the police.
And he's even talking about taking the wall down. How about that?
Honestly, that sounds great. Unfortunately, though, Biden has promised to do exactly none of those things. And the lies told about Biden were just the beginning here. Convention speakers also claimed that Trump never called white supremacists very fine people, which he did.
You also had people that were very fine people on both sides.
That he passed the Veterans Choice Act, which he didn't, and that he's trying to protect patients with pre-existing conditions, which he very much is not. I'm honestly surprised a speaker didn't at one point claim that Trump invented parakeets or that he stopped the murder hornets by sucking them straight out of the air. And yet, even in the midst of a blizzard of lies, some still managed to stand out. Like White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow referring to the coronavirus with an odd choice of verb tense.
Then came a once-in-100-year pandemic. It was awful. Health and economic impacts were tragic. Hardship and heartbreak were everywhere. But presidential leadership came swiftly and effectively with an extraordinary rescue for health and safety to successfully fight the COVID virus.
You can't talk about the coronavirus in the past tense when it is, in a very real sense, still raging. But maybe the biggest gulf between the RNC and objective reality concerned race. Because again and again, RNC speakers were at pains to reassure viewers that racism in America is mostly a relic of the past and whatever remains can be easily overcome. Take Nikki Haley's speech in which she flatly insisted America is not a racist country and then told the inspirational story of how the Confederate flag at her state's capital was taken down in 2015 after the massacre at Mother Emanuel Church.
After that horrific tragedy, we didn't turn against each other. We came together, black and white, Democrat and Republican. Together, we made the hard choices needed to heal and removed a divisive symbol peacefully and respectfully.
Oh, that's what happened, is it? That sounds nice. Just a few things there. It's a peaceful story of unity and hope, as long as you start that story immediately after a white supremacist killed 9 people at a historic black church. Also, Haley's version of that story ignores the fact that the eventual removal of the Confederate flag was jump-started by artist and activist Bree Newsom Bass climbing the flagpole in front of the State House like she was on an anti-racist version of American Ninja Warrior, and that she was then arrested, and that the flag was then re-raised 45 minutes later. Haley also conveniently leaves out the part where the candidate she's endorsing has defended those who proudly fly the flag by saying it represents the South. So Haley turning what happened in South Carolina into a smooth, hopeful story of racial reconciliation is a bit like if someone asked her what the film Do the Right Thing is about, and she said, a Brooklyn neighborhood comes together to help redecorate a pizza place. And a lot of the RNC's messaging on race seemed intended not so much to win over black voters as to reassure white people that they could vote Republican without being racist. The audience they were talking to was pretty clear, even in small moments like this.
The American people know. We don't have to choose between supporting law enforcement and standing with our African-American neighbors.
Hold on there, Mike. Who is the we in that sentence? Because it seems like you're making a distinction between we, the American people, and our African-American neighbors, who I guess by extension are somehow a different group entirely. But I guess that sentiment shouldn't really be surprising coming from Mike Pence, a man who permanently looks like he should be living in Ken's white flight dream house. And all of this overt talk of racial harmony was very much in conflict with the steady diet of barely disguised racial panic that viewers were also being fed.
I don't know what's going on, but I got chills. I've got nausea. It's either the onset of COVID or seeing a 1,500 people with no social distancing, no masks, and no testing packed onto the south lawn of the White House. I know the Republicans like voter suppression. I didn't know they kicked it up to voter extinction.
And right here at this podium, one president broke the law and used the People's House for a grotesque campaign event. So much history.
Thanks to advances, we have pioneered the fatality rate?
Yes, pioneered, because this many people haven't died since covered wagons. These people down here in the high-risk rows know what I'm talking about, right?
Americans are exhausted.
Okay, so we're back in the White House, and I think you just probably saw the greatest speech ever given by the greatest president ever. And, you know, it was a little low energy, if we're being totally honest. Sort of boring, a very long speech written for me. I didn't get that. Do my great Trump ad libs. But, you know, I came back in and had some Diet Coke based on, you know, Tony Montana. Montana being one of our great, sort of very great Republican states. And I had a little extra Diet Coke. You know, I like the Diet Coke for the late night tweets, because Ivanka, who introduced me very beautifully, and wasn't wearing a wedding ring. So I don't know if she's sending me sort of strong messages. And, you know, when you take the nomination for president, the ladies, a lot of them like that. So I don't know if Ivanka was trying to send strong signals, but tonight was great. Ben Carson stayed awake long enough to give a speech. Rudy Giuliani's lower teeth looked especially urine covered, and he was just totally foaming at the mouth like the great attack dog that he is. Pat Lynch of the Policeman's Bigotry Association. Is that guy a nut or what? I love him. And you can see it in some of these, like, he wanted to say the N-word so bad. And I love that energy, a big N-word energy, Pat Lynch. But overall, it was a great night. We managed to showcase 7 of the 11 black Republican voters on tonight's convention. So it's, get ready, Sleepy Joe, because I've got all the Diet Coke, strong energy, and tremendous bigotry, and we're gonna win so strongly. And now I gotta go see, you know, if Ivanka wants to hang out, you know, father-daughter stuff. But, and thanks to all my other kids, you know, you're not Ivanka, so it's okay. Trump 2020, let's do this.
Which brings us to the second part of our story this week, what happened in Kenosha, Wisconsin, where, to reiterate, Jacob Blake was shot 7 times in the back by police with 3 of his children in the car. And then, in the protest that followed, Kyle Rittenhouse, a 17-year-old who traveled there from out of state and was illegally carrying a weapon, killed 2 people.
Kenosha, Wisconsin police responding to a domestic incident at about 5 o'clock Sunday evening.
At least 2 officers with their guns drawn followed him as he walked around the front of his gray SUV. Then at least 7 shots.
Screams rang out as police fired at least 7 shots Sunday evening. Blake appears to have been shot in the back as he entered the driver's side of an SUV at gunpoint. His children were reportedly in the vehicle.
Blake's family now says the 29-year-old's spinal cord is severed and that he's paralyzed from the waist down, though doctors aren't sure it's permanent. His family is now demanding the officers involved in Sunday's shooting captured on his cell phone video be fired and the one who shot Blake in the back be arrested.
No matter how many times I watch these videos, I'll never get used to how quickly police go from issuing commands to using deadly force. Like, whatever happened to warning shots or tackling a suspect? Like, are we really meant to believe that the only 2 options a cop has is do nothing or shoot somebody in the back 7 times? That's all we have? I mean, think about it. Even when wild animals are loose on the streets, they don't always shoot to kill. They have tranquilizers. They have nets. I never thought I would wish for black people to be treated at least like a wild bear, but here we are.
Shooting the guy in the back many times, I mean, couldn't you have done something different? Couldn't you have wrestled? You know, I mean, in the meantime, he might have been going for a weapon. And, you know, there's a whole big thing there. But they choke. Just like in a golf tournament, they miss a 3-foot
putt. You're not comparing it to golf because, of course, that's what the media
I'm saying people choke.
And I know people are questioning why Blake didn't just follow the police's orders. Just listen to the cops and you'll be fine. And look, I don't know why he didn't. I don't. All right? Maybe he was worried because he had outstanding warrants. Maybe it's because he knows what happened to George Floyd when he did follow the police's orders. Maybe he just wanted to get his sunglasses. It doesn't matter to the police because they jumped straight to, this black man is gonna try kill us if we don't kill him first. Like, let's say for argument's sake that they shot Jacob Blake to stop him from reaching his car. And let's ignore for a second that that's a up, terrible, inhumane way to stop somebody from reaching into their car. They shot him 7 times. What purpose do bullets 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 serve? Either way, Blake's move toward his car made them see him as a threat. But as his sister reminded us, they forgot to also see him as a human being.
I am my brother's keeper. And when you say the name Jacob Blake, make sure you say father. Make sure you say cousin. Mm-hmm. Make sure you say son. Make sure you say uncle. But most importantly, make sure you say human. Human life. Let it marinate in your mouth, in your minds. Mm. A human life. So many people have reached out to me telling me they're sorry that this happened to my family. Well, don't be sorry. Because this has been happening to my family for a long time, longer than I can account for. It happened to Emmett Till. Mm. Emmett Till is my family. Mm. Philando, Mike Brown, Sandra. This has been happening to my family. And I've shed tears for every single one of these people that it's happened to. This is nothing new. I'm not sad. I'm not sorry. I'm angry. And I'm tired. I haven't cried 1 time. I stopped crying years ago. I am numb. I have been watching police murder people that look like me for years. I'm not sad. I don't want your pity. I want change.
So once again, the pattern repeats itself. An unarmed black person is shot by the cops. In response, people go into the streets. More law enforcement is sent in, and the chaos only continues to grow. I could tell you the story with my eyes closed by now. Like, if I wanted to, I could pre-record 5 of these segments, go on vacation, and you'd probably never know. And in this situation, just when you thought things couldn't get any worse, last night, it did.
Breaking news, a very dangerous situation in Kenosha, Wisconsin. 2 people are dead in clashes that may have involved armed vigilantes. People who may have
moved into that city to counter the protests following the police shooting of Jacob Blake.
The sheriff used the word militia to describe some of the people who may have been involved in last night's shooting.
We've just learned that a 17-year-old has been charged with first-degree murder in at least one of those killings last night.
And we now have seen some social media video of a man with a long gun strapped across his chest running down the street or walking down the street and being chased by people who are yelling, he's shooting, he shot someone. The man trips, falls on his own. People still try to come and apprehend him and get him. He then fires again at point blank range at two more people. And then the man continues to walk down the street. He is a white man with a huge gun strapped across his chest with his hands up. As you see police vehicles, not one, not two, but three vehicles who are coming towards him. He has his hands up with his gun. People are yelling, he shot someone, and police pass him by. There are a lot of questions here as to why he wasn't apprehended at that time.
That's right. Last night, some guy decided to drive to Kenosha with his militia buddies to protect a business and apparently ended up shooting three people and killing two. But don't worry, the business is okay. And let me tell you something. No one drives into a city with guns because they love someone else's business that much. That's some bullshit. No one has ever thought, oh, it's my solemn duty to pick up a rifle and protect that TJ Maxx. They do it because they're hoping to shoot someone. That's the only reason people like him join these gangs in the first place. And yes, I said it, a gang. Enough with this militia bullshit. This isn't the Battle of Yorktown. It's a bunch of dudes threatening people with guns. And while what happened with those shootings last night is tragic, what happened afterwards is illuminating. Because it made me wonder, it really made me wonder why some people get shot seven times in the back, while other people are treated like human beings and reasoned with and taken into custody with no bullets in their bodies. How come Jacob Blake was seen as a deadly threat for a theoretical gun that he might have and might try to commit a crime with? But this gunman who was armed and had already shot people who had shown that he is a threat was arrested the next day, given full due process of the law, and generally treated like a human being whose life matters. How did Dylan Roof shoot up a church, James Holmes shoot up a movie theater, and both live to tell about it? Why is it that the police decide that some threats must be extinguished immediately while other threats get the privilege of being diffused? I'm asking these as questions, but I feel like we know the answer. The answer is that the gun doesn't matter as much as who is holding the gun. Because to some people, black skin is the most threatening weapon of all.
Rittenhouse.
We're looking at all of it. That was an interesting situation. You saw the same tape as I saw. And he was trying to get away from them, I guess, it looks like. And he fell. And then they very violently attacked him. And it was something that we're looking at right now, and it's under investigation. But I guess he was in very big trouble. He probably would have been killed, but it's under investigation.
Donald Trump's refusal there to condemn Kyle Rittenhouse, who traveled across state lines to a Black Lives Matter demonstration and ended up allegedly killing two protesters, puts the president squarely on the side of lawlessness and chaos. But Donald Trump went even further, also placing himself in the office of the American presidency on the side of those Trump backers who rode in the back of pickup trucks to shoot Black Lives Matter protesters with paint guns.
Well, I understand they had large numbers of people that were supporters, but that was a peaceful protest. And paint is a defensive mechanism. Paint is not bullets.
But note to our viewers, all paint is not equal to Donald J. Trump. Just 2 months ago, Donald Trump threatened to prosecute and jail anyone found to have poured paint on monuments. Donald Trump took his divisive campaign message to Kenosha, Wisconsin today after that state's leaders had asked him to stay away. Trump's nod to violence is jockeying for headlines today with his full embrace of his own special conspiracy theories, one so bizarre, even Fox's Laura Ingraham seemed taken aback.
Who do you think is pulling Biden's strings? Is it former Obama
officials? People that you've never heard of. people that are in the dark shadows, people that...
Oh, what does that mean? That sounds like conspiracy theory, dark shadows.
No, people that you haven't heard of. They're people that are on the streets. They're people that are controlling the streets.
The events in Kenosha would be infuriating at any time, but it's somehow especially infuriating that they took place in the same week where the RNC was desperate to reassure the country that America isn't racist, while simultaneously fear-mongering about violent crime threatening law-abiding citizens. It was a disconnect that was pretty well summed up by NBA coach Doc Rivers in an emotional post-game press conference on Tuesday.
What stands out to me is just watching the Republican convention and they're spewing this fear, right? Like, all you hear is Donald Trump and all of them talking about fear. We're the ones getting killed. We're the ones getting shot. We're the ones that we're denied to live in certain communities. We've been hung. We've been shot. And all you do is keep hearing about fear. It's amazing to me why we keep loving this country and this country does not love us back.
It's all exhaustingly depressing. And the RNC this week actually ended up being a pretty good reminder that where we still might end up going is genuinely terrifying. Because if it showed us one thing this week, it's the danger in continuing to be governed by an administration that encourages the ugliest forces in American society, that lionizes threats of violence against peaceful protest, that tells us there is no conflict between supporting law enforcement and our African-American neighbors, and that insists that the best is yet to come, which, given everything that we've seen in the last 4 years, is sounding less like a promise and more like a threat.
So, Barack Obama, failed president, okay? Kenyan in chief was talking to LeBron James, who, as you know, is, I would say, definitely not as good as Michael Jordan. But I would also say he's not as good as a group of randomly selected players. Larry Bird, John Stockton, Chris Mullin, Kevin Love, Dirk Nowitzki, Steve Nash, George Mikan. Remember him? The big old, you know, the black and white footage. He did a lot of, it wasn't that good, but he was better than LeBron, I can tell you that. So I don't respect all these active athletes who are trying to bring politics and sports. That's why I like strong athletes with great patriotism, like Curt Schilling, who does, you know, strong fraud, lost his money in video games, does great fraud on Build the Wall. That's a great athlete, okay? And a great patriot. And guys like Aubrey Huff. You know, I love tough guys with women's names. It's Aubrey, sounds kind of like a woman. And maybe that's why he fights so hard to be so tough on Twitter. Okay, so we love athletes that love MAGA, that rip off people and have women's names. Not like LeBron James, who, you know, wants people to live and have rights.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.